What could change in your life if you developed as a better communicator? Whether you're leading your family, a team, an organization, or a church, you already know the challenges of communication and how important it is to do it effectively. Powerful communication takes more than verbal skills and mechanics. It requires connecting better through the values of relationship. We discuss those values and more today, right here on the Five Gifts Podcast.
Welcome to the Five Gifts Podcast. I'm your co-host, Bruce Ritter, along with my co-host, Charles Russell. Together, we want to help Christian leaders rediscover Christ speaking and acting in the local church. Welcome back to the Five Gifts Podcast. It's great to have you with us today. Last week, Charles and I were in Waxahachie, Texas, which is just south of Dallas. And we got to sit under the leadership of two of our favorite people in the world, Dr. Wayne and Sherry Lee, along with some other leaders, some other people that are involved in the training and that we've been in for several years. We got to invite some of our friends from the Dominican Republic, three leaders that we're working with as we begin to continue, well, as we continue to do our pastor conferences, as we look to see revival in the Dominican Republic. And so shout out to Pastor Radames Quesada, Joel, and Eddie. Just three phenomenal men of God and leaders, not just in the local church, but to pastors in the DR. And so they're going to be coordinating with us and helping us put these conferences together. Really looking forward and anticipating what the Lord is going to do through those conferences. Our next trip is in July. Charles, what was your favorite part of our trip to Texas?
Well, certainly barbecue's got to be in there somewhere. But apart from the barbecue, I think just gathering with like-minded leaders and really our prayer times, our dedicated prayer times, passionately praying for the nations and praying for the activity of God to just to be intensified. Amen. And be released in us and through us and into the nations was just a powerful time that I will take with me and cherish as cherished memories to look back on.
Yeah. Well, not only did we learn, but we were part of the teaching team. And Charles, you presented a session on spiritual gifts. You initiated some needed prayerful reflection, and that just led into a really precious time. I just sensed the presence of the Lord come down in that moment, and I think we just lingered silently in the presence of the Lord for several minutes. Yeah. I taught a session the next day on some basic coaching skills, and then led a live coaching demo kind of on the fly, which was pretty neat.
And you did a phenomenal job.
Well, that's debatable. But it was fun. And I thought it was a good exercise for other people to reflect on and see how coaching works and what, you know, the developing leaders and yeah. Anyway. So we knew we were scheduled to teach. We found out, a few days before we left for Texas. And I remember, I don't know about you, Charles, but I remember thinking through content, you know, working on content. What am I going to present? And I remember preparing for my session. And again, the focus was on the content. I'm trying to nail down those memorable takeaways, some anchors that people could point to and just in the content, I put together presentation slides and spent a lot of time on that, trying to get the right look and feel and the wording. I wanted that to be really good. Anyway, the focus is on what I was communicating, the content, but there's some other factors involved in communication. It's not just what we're communicating, but how we communicate. And that's an important question to answer when you talk about effective communication. So, Charles, let's talk about the how today. How do we communicate better as leaders?
Well, I think we have to come to the realization of this one, really this one idea that we're talking about in podcasts today. And it's simply this, it's that connecting increases our influence in every situation. Or another way to say that, connecting increases our leadership in every situation. So, you know, when we come to the place that we realize as leaders, and that's what in this podcast we're trying to help our leaders, who whether pastors or anyone who's leading in a church context at any level in any kind of situation, we're developing our leadership, and part of leading is being able to communicate. And what's true of communication is you cannot communicate effectively unless you have the ability to connect. And so being able to connect increases our leadership. So as we think about, you know, kind of asking the how question, we're going to talk about leading and communicating at multiple levels. So, you know, we lead kind of in one-on-one relationships and environments. We lead in smaller groups. Also, we lead and we communicate, and we have to connect in a larger group setting, maybe from stages, if you will. And so as we're thinking about those multiple levels, and our premise is that connecting increases our influence or our leadership in every situation, we have a leadership presence in each of those arenas. So some questions maybe to begin to ask ourselves would be, how could things change at work or in the office or in the church if I was better able to connect with a supervisor or with my colleagues, with the staff, with my peers? How could that work environment get better? How could it improve? Thinking along the lines of personal relationships, how could my personal relationships be different? How could they improve and get better if I was better able to connect with other people? And then maybe a third question to think on, reflect and ponder is, you know, if you're in a relationship, maybe you're in a marriage, husband and wife, or possibly raising a family, children are introduced now into that dynamic of the relational dynamic, or maybe you're in a dating relationship, but how could those relationships differ? How could they improve if you learned how to connect better? And so just some questions to consider. Mm-hmm. You know, we're wanting to add value to people's life. That's why we're asking the question. We're talking around this idea of connecting, not just communicating. Listen, anybody can talk. Anybody can disseminate information. But what we're talking specifically about today is being able to make connections with people. Again, whether it be with a large group, speaking from a stage, or speaking in a small relational environment, a small group of people, or communicating in a one-on-one relationship, the ability to connect, to make connections, will multiply, not just increase, but will multiply your influence or your leadership in each of those three arenas in every situation.
Charles, when we talk about communication, you bring up some excellent points, and I'm thinking, as a leader, communication is a must, and especially, you know, in the church, as Christian leaders, as pastors, evangelists, if you're a departmental leader, you have a staff you communicate mm-hmm. with, and all throughout church history, Christian history, the Bible, there's a premium on communication, whether it's the passing down of the oral tradition to the ministry of the prophet, to the ministry of Jesus, on down through the writing of the epistles and the communication and expansion of the gospel. communication is a premium. And we say it time and time again that one of the burdens of the apostolic leader is that premium on relationship, because relationship is the vehicle for effective communication. So talk us through how we really communicate with others better.
Well, again, just thinking through some foundational truths or keys, number one would be connecting can make you or it can break you. You bring up this idea about the apostolic leader. Again, our understanding and our foundation in talking about the apostolic in this podcast is not from a title. We're not giving certificates or titles away. We're not conferring. We're not telling anyone you are the apostle. We're talking about the function of the apostolic gift. So the function of that gift is the apostolic gift initiates. It acts first. It goes first. And so as the apostolic leader begins to initiate change or begins to initiate leadership within the church, in differing contexts and environments, connection becomes critical. It can make or it can break your leadership. Mm. If an apostolic leader the vehicle, but I think the better word is if the apostolic leader over a bridge of relationships can make connections with the people that he or she is called to lead, then those connections can really make or break the apostolic leader in leading change, in leading new initiatives, in starting new ministries within the church. It is those connections that become critical to the apostolic leader's communication. And so if there are no connections when he or she is communicating, then I think what they will quickly discover is there are a lot of roadblocks. There are a lot of hazards in the pathway. There are a lot of detours that are going to have to be made. It's going to be a bumpy road for the leader who's trying to lead and has not been able to make connections in their communication. So connection can make or break you. Communicating better with others, you begin to realize, all right, making connections is key. So I began to really spend time and energy and resources on making connections. It's not just enough to pull the bullhorn out and just begin to declare, this is what we're doing and this is where we're going. You've got to have connections in the mix, connections, because those connections that you made, they'll begin to raise their voice as well. And now it's not just you communicating, it's the team that you're building through connections that helps you to lead, helps you to influence as they raise their voice with you. That goes in line with the next one, which will be connecting is crucial for leaders. I'm convinced that you just can't lead without connections. Obviously, we hear a lot about leaders have to communicate, but I would say it's deeper than that. Leaders have to connect. And again, whether you're pastoring the church or teaching a Sunday school class or you're facilitating a small group, wherever it is that you're leading and that you're working in the church context, it's critical, it's crucial for you to not just to communicate, but to make connections inside of those communications. Next one, connection helps in every area of your life. Again, we've laid out kind of these three areas that we're leading in, we're communicating in, that we need to be connecting in. There's the next one would be just a desire. There should be on the leader's part a desire to make connections. If you're in your communication, leader, if all that you're doing, if your only desire is to check the box that yes, I've communicated today, your leadership is going to struggle. But if there is a desire within you to connect with individuals and with people, I think it brings a level of authenticity and sincerity in our communication, which leads to making connections. And then last would just be the courage to change. And this helps us to communicate better with others, to make connection with others. Courage to change. And what I simply mean by that is that communication is constantly evolving and it's changing. And so what may have worked 10 years ago in my communication patterns may not work today. There could be, certainly there are foundational principles, but there may be methods and ways in which to communicate that change over time. I have to be willing to change so that I can make connections. Just a real quick example of that in our missions work, we had to go through a process called itineration where we had to raise our budget. And so that became our full-time job during the itineration process. And there was a lot of communication that had to take place. And then a lot of connection that needed to take place. And so my thinking, again, I pastored for 26 years before stepping into missions work. And so I'm thinking kind of the old fashioned, old school way, just I'm going to have to pick up the phone and make a lot of phone calls. But what I discovered is that at least in my observation, in our itineration, was that pastors and decision makers and leaders would rather be communicated with through text or through like direct messaging. And so I made very few phone calls, and the phone calls that I made went unanswered or excuse me, or unreturned. But my greatest point of communication, my greatest point of connection rather, was by communicating through text or through direct messaging. And so I was surprised by that at first, but I had to be willing to make the change. And so, and as I've talked to other missionaries, they found that same pattern to be true. So there has to be a courage to change my traditional communication patterns so that I'm able to make connections more at a better rate than what my old patterns would allow me to do. So just a few ideas, a few observations to help us maybe to communicate better and connect better with people. But Bruce, what do you think about when you think about communicating with others by better connections, what are some of the qualities that for you, you come to mind?
Yeah, I think there's a personhood you bring to your ability to connect with people. You can only connect yourself to someone else. And so, you know, being mindful of what you bring to enrich those connections. So I guess if I thought about qualities, I think in one sense, vision, communicating vision. I don't just mean the content of vision. I mean the compelling nature of it. How do people observe that in your life? How do they see your enthusiasm about it? It's important, I think, because it helps people see not only the preferred future that you're trying to compel them to either buy into or adapt to or take ownership of and collaborate with you about, but I think vision is that sense that here's something compelling. Here's something worth investing your time in. Of course, Proverbs 29:18 is the classic verse. When we talk about where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. And you know, the idea that revelation vision gives direction. And I think when that's communicated in a compelling way, and I bring the enthusiasm to it, You know, I think there's that level of connection. I think people can tell when you're selling them and when you're inspiring them.
And, yeah, absolutely.
But I think vision is an important component there. We could do a whole podcast series on vision, but in terms of connecting with people, I think vision is crucial. I think of Joshua getting the people. I heard someone say one time that Moses could get the people out of Egypt, but only Joshua could teach them to march.
Oh, wow.
And, I see him bringing the people to the edge of the Jordan and saying, listen, tomorrow God's going to work wonders among us. That was vision. That was visionary language. And it was compelling. It got the people moving in a direction that, and I think the signs that it landed, you know, it made a connection with people on a broad scale. I mean, an entire nation moved that kind of vision casting. So vision is important. I think when you and I say to someone in the church that here's where we're going, you know, it's not important just because we said it. It's important because it connected with some dynamics of ownership within them that said, yeah, this is important. This is, and I honestly think when you're talking about two people that know Christ, there is that dynamic of what the Lord has put into me, he's put into them, and it resonates. And so, you know, I think vision is what connects that. That parts of me to those parts of you that says, yeah, this is where we need to go. And so obviously vision. I think another one is probably the ability to create consensus, or maybe a better term is building consensus. Mm-hmm. You know, the idea that we're going to collaborate together. We're going to share the journey. We're going to work in the patterns of agreement. It's not just going to be a top down, it's my way or the highway. Connection says, you know, I need your agreement in this. I need your participation in this. You have, it's about defining roles for people. Mm-hmm. It's about awakening them to what they bring to the table. You know, so consensus building. I think in Nehemiah, when he's going around the wall of Jerusalem and, you know, he sees the need, but I think he's also able to communicate that this is not something that we're going to do on my leadership or the resources you know, the king of Persia, we're going to do this because we work together and we see our value in what we can accomplish together. And I think consensus building is huge. It means that we have to make some agreements. We have to make some, on some level, we have to make compromise. But at the same time, I think that level of connection is what brings the energy of other people into, you know, and to the vision. And so that's an obvious one for me. Now, a third area that I think of, and I think this is probably more important than I even like to give it credence, but it's huge, and that is charisma. Now, I don't mean the charismatic nature of how we practice our faith. I'm not talking about that specifically, but I think there is maybe a winsomeness, a factor of, you know, that I am giving energy through my personality and my attention that I give to other people. And, you know, honestly, I think John Maxwell's writings have helped me understand that better as a leader, that charisma is that ability to be a there you are focused person.
Okay.
You know, my nature is to walk into a room and say, oh my gosh, I'm here and people are going to see me and, you know, but the there you are person is the person that walks in the room and immediately places value on other people. So charisma really has less to do with you mm-hmm. and more to do with how people perceive that you see them.
Yeah.
And so, you know, there's some keys in developing charisma. I think being more concerned about making others feel important, valued, mm-hmm. making it clear that you see the gifts in them, you see value in them. I think with that, there's an ability to not be the one that's doing all the talking, but doing a lot of listening.
Yeah.
The idea that I'm not just being the one who's telling everyone how to do it, but I'm listening to their values. I'm taking an interest in their passions. I want to know their thoughts. I want to get them to emote and talk about, you know, what they care about. Mm-hmm. I think it's looking for body language in people. I think when people see that you respond to their energy, I think that's a character of charisma. And I think it's something we can develop. And, you know, we're doing this podcast to talk about developing these skills. And these are not just things that are in you by nature. They're things that you do intentionally. They take that intentional focus of being a leader with people. Developing an emotional intelligence. You know, we talk about your EQ, learning to regulate your emotions and not letting your emotions kind of rule your thought processes, but rather, you know, letting people know that you're a steady person. You're not often rattled. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think there's we've talked about vision, but I think that's one of the factors of a charismatic person. They have a sense of purpose.
Yeah.
And they communicate that. They're not afraid to talk about what they believe. They're not afraid to talk about what they're passionate about. And I think that gives a confidence in people to say, okay, this is what they're about. This is, mm-hmm. I know that they have clearly stated this is where they're going. They're not just a driven person, but they have a sense of purpose and conviction about it. And there's a genuineness in that. And I think probably another area of charisma, and it kind of leads to a fourth point, but I think charismatic person is a focused person. And that focus has a way of not only telling people what you're about, but it can give them a platform of relationship with you. And so I say that leads to another point is that I think when someone sees that you're not just talking a good game, but that your life is oriented about that, then they see some integrity. It's a quality that they can trust in you as a leader. And so trustworthiness, integrity, I think that's at least a fourth factor into connecting with people in a way that enhances your communication. It's being a solid person, a consistent person. And so it's like when someone hears you in the pulpit and then you greet them in at the door, or you mm-hmm. you find yourself in the same line at Starbucks getting a cup of coffee, or you know, in the checkout line at the store, mm-hmm. then they're able to make that connection and say, that's not just the man in the pulpit, that's my pastor.
Yeah.
I think that's a big shift, you know, and mm-hmm. but it takes trustworthiness, it takes that consistency. I think of a biblical example, and I'm always trying to relate stuff to biblical examples, but remember Samuel, and mm-hmm. he's coming, he's the last in a long line of judges. These people that rose up in those specific seasons, those needed seasons of leadership, where it says in Judges, the people were just casting off, you know, they're just basically doing everything they wanted to do. And there wasn't a lot of revelation. Samuel comes along and kind of as the last of the judges, but the first of the prophets. And he had a way of connecting with people where they trusted him. And I think there was a point that, you know, they wanted to elevate him. They wanted him to be more of an official capacity. And it was I think it was the seeds of Samuel's leadership that the people said, you know what, we want a king. Not that that was the most pure or noble gesture, but I think it was that example of Samuel that says we want leadership. And and so I think Samuel, because of the way he lived his life and because he was trusted, he had integrity. I thought that really elevated him in the eyes of the people. And I think when we connect with people in a way that is authentic and trusted, that you know, it's almost like you're building a platform not on a title but on your personhood. Wow. So those are just some things that I think of when it comes to being a better communicator.
Man, that was that last statement that you made, Bruce. That's gold. We're building not on our title, but on our person, our character, upon who we are. That is so counterintuitive to what leadership is supposed to look like in our culture. That at least the ideas and the values that culture would espouse about leadership, that the titles are everything and the power is in the titles and the value is in the title. But man, I'm telling you that was strong. We're building on the personhood and not on our title. And you know, when we as leaders take that posture to communicating, that's a natural conduit to making connections. If we lead from the title perspective, it just comes across as, well, you're trying to sell me, like you said earlier, or you're trying to tell me what to do. Man, I'm telling you, as a red-blooded American, I don't want to be told what to do. I just, there's something in me when somebody just starts barking and telling me what to do. There's just something in me that rises up. There's a rebellious nature in me, and I know I'm the only one. Nobody else experiences that, but I want to do the opposite of what they're communicating. So I know for me, if you're wanting to connect with me, don't walk in the room and just start barking orders, and because that is not the way to connect with me. Just real talk, you know. Maybe that's something Jesus has to work out in me.
But Charles, the point is that I don't necessarily think that anyone communicates effectively by connection without being intentional. I'm not saying that these are qualities that are by nature in us. I think they're developed. I think it's the attention that we give to whether we're adapting from a personality. Mm-hmm. Like for me, I'm deeply, woefully, painfully introverted, and so it's not my nature to be outwardly processing things. And so if people see that I'm withdrawn, it's not that I don't care about people. It's just that my energy is built up by thinking. But as a leader, I have to adapt. As a leader, I have to walk into a room and say, there you are. As a leader, I have to walk into a room and show passion. I don't have to conjure it up. The passion's there, but sure. I have to show it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I think of all the different ways that we have to communicate with people. As a leader, you know, you're just constantly in that mode of communicating, and you communicate to different kinds of people, different groups of people. So, Charles, what are some of the factors you see in connection with groups of people that make for better communication?
Well, you know, when we began to talk about groups of people, let me back up and just talk about the one-on-one dynamic first, because we're going to communicate one-on-one. And in fact, it's been said that 80 to 90% of connecting occurs one-on-one. And that's a hard reality to deal with, because I just think I'm a much better communicator and connector from stage than I am a conversationalist. So the last several years I've really worked on this and really tried to improve my skill set in connecting one-on-one. Because it's critical we learn how to connect in this kind of private conversation, one-on-one dynamic. And as we learn how to connect one-on-one, those are principles that transfer to the small group and then to the larger mm-hmm. group environment. So as leaders, as we strive to make connections, we do this better one-on-one through a few ways. Number one, talk more about the other person and less about yourself. Imagine that people actually have something to say. So leaders, value the people that you're trying to connect with. Let them talk. And then in our conversing, talk more about them and less about ourselves. Quit trying to sell yourself and listen and talk more about them. Secondly, bring something of value. Things like a helpful story, a quote, maybe a book you've recently read, a website. Here's a great one, a podcast. And we've got a Bruce and I have a great podcast we could refer to. It's like the Five Gifts podcast, right? I think it's the name of it. So, you know, something, what's been helpful and beneficial in your life? What's added value to you? Have those things in your back pocket so that when you're having a one-on-one conversation, you can go to the toolbox and say, hey, you know what? This really impacted my life. You may want to try that out. See if it can bring any benefit to yours. At the close of every conversation, here's a powerful question you can ask. Ask if there's something you can do to help them. So leading and making connections is not always about how can you help me? How can, you know, we're having these conversations, we're making connections. We're asking, what is it that, is there something that I can do to help you? And then here's the key. Be sure that you follow through and actually do what it is they ask you to do. So when you ask the question, what can I do to help you? It's a great question to build connections, but then follow through with their response and what it is that you are committing to help them with. So,
you know,
so
Charles, the question, when you,
yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt. You know, you're talking about things that I think that help me, I know, in coaching, and that is, you know, it's usually one-on-one and you're trying to make it about them. It's about their agenda. It's about their goals. It's about their own vision. And I think part of making it about them and not about you is being curious, genuinely curious. Mm-hmm. Sure. What does this person care about? What are their aspirations in life? What are their goals? What got them up this morning? You know, things like mm-hmm. that. And I think if you go in with that mindset, and I think that's maybe one thing that we're implying, we haven't really said it yet, but really connection is a mindset.
Yeah,
it's
absolutely.
It's an kind of it's an orientation, moving out of our world and our agenda into the world of someone else.
Yeah,
I didn't mean to interrupt.
Is not at all, but that was worth hearing. Man, you've got all the gold nuggets today, Bruce. Connection is a mindset. Absolutely. So here's a question to reflect on. Hopefully, after you listen through this podcast and kind of process, here's a question for our listeners and our viewers to kind of think through. After we've talked about how to connect one-on-one, how to make connections one-on-one, what are we going to do to increase our ability to connect one-on-one? So I just encourage you to go back through and listen to some of these tips we're talking about. And is there anything in there that we're suggesting today that you can begin to implement to increase your ability to connect one-on-one? Because I promise, if you can grow in that skill of making one-on-one connections, your leadership, your influence is going to skyrocket. So really, really hone in that one-on-one skill development. So let's talk about just for a moment connecting in a group. So in a smaller group setting. In order to connect in a group, it's going to require us to take initiative with the people in the group. And so how can we do this? A few ways to begin to take initiative with the people in the group is by looking for ways to compliment people in the group for their ideas and actions. I hear a lot of people talk about, they like on social media, they don't post a lot or they don't like, they don't interact with other people's posts or comments. And so they're just kind of a silent presence in the social media world. They're consuming a lot of the posts, consuming a lot of the material, but not interacting with it. And listen, I'm no social media expert, but that's a way that we can begin to build relationships is through our interactions on social media. But when we look at the medium of human interaction, when we're together in a small group, if someone makes a good comment, if someone has a good idea, presents a good idea or does something that's actionable, that's powerful and dynamic, don't let that opportunity pass. Give that person a compliment. Affirm their ideas, affirm their actions with some kind of verbal praise and verbal compliment. People enjoy being complimented on things where they are excelling it. And so if you're a leader and you're leading, you're interacting in a smaller group of people, or you're trying to make connections in a smaller group of people, a great way to begin doing that is to compliment others for their ideas, for their actions. Another way, look for ways that you can add value to the people in the group. So again, in the one-on-one scenario, we talked about bringing some websites or podcasts or books that have impacted your life. Kind of the same approach can work in the small group setting as well. Where are ways that you can add value to the group? It may mean if you're more of an introvert, it may mean looking for areas to lift your voice. As introverts, we tend to think more. Certainly, we have kind of those private conversations in our heads. We think through scenarios and ideas. So you may have thought through something that the group has yet to think of. And so look for those opportunities to not just think, but now to lift your voice and bring your thinking to the group. A great way to add value. So there's a multiplicity of ways, but just begin to look for ways that you can add value to the people in the small group.
Charles, to hear you, talk about that when you're working with a group, when you invite people to share, like with the introvert, when you're giving credence, you recognize that they're thinking and they probably do have something to say. And so you give them permission to say it. I think you're absolutely right. It just adds to their sense of importance to the team. And when you, and for example, let's say you're talking to the extrovert who may be giving off all kinds of ideas and thoughts, but they're not refined. When mm-hmm. you ask them to refine that and how would they say that in a compelling way, I think you're also giving credence to their value and what they bring to the team when you do that. And so I think those are absolutely important things to remember and communicate in connection, that mm-hmm. that you're helping people see the value that they bring to the group or the team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. You know, if in the small group environment, if you want to make connection, that's what we're talking about, making connections. Here's a powerful, it's hard to do, but it's very powerful. It's this: don't take credit when the group succeeds, and don't cast blame when it fails. So we're talking about connections, and connections increase our influence or increase our leadership. So don't, when the group succeeds, don't take all the credit, share the credit. Bring the entire group in on the spoils of victory. And then when it goes sideways, don't cast all the blame on everybody else. Be big enough to accept the lion's share of the blame that goes for that less than stellar result. Another way, find ways to help the group celebrate their successes together. You know, what I've observed in leadership and found over the years is that people have a hard time celebrating. And so if you can be a person who the group has achieved, has succeeded in finding the results that the group set out to do, if you can be a person who helps the group to celebrate, you can make meaningful connections. And we're not talking about points of manipulation here, but we're talking about genuine celebration, where in those moments of celebration, you can make meaningful connections with people that just continue to lend itself to increased leadership, increased influence. So find ways. Be a person that likes to celebrate. Be a person that likes to party with the group, and let the group find some moments of rejoicing and celebrating in the success that you have shared together. So wrapping up this section here is again another question, as we've talked about different areas of making connections in a smaller group of people. What are you going to do? What can you do to increase your ability to connect in a group? Listen, it's Bruce and my desire, our desire is for you to grow and to increase in your leadership and in your influence. And today we're dealing specifically with communication, and even more specific to that, making connections. We want you to make strong connections in your communication that will amplify your leadership. So take a moment after this podcast and answer that question. Reflect on that question. What is it that you can do to increase your ability to connect in a group? And then finally, the third level of connecting would be connecting with an audience. So if you're a person who has the privilege of standing on a stage and sharing a sermon or teaching lessons or communicating to a large group of people, here's a few ways to connect with an audience. Number one, share your excitement for being with them. When you get on the stage, you know, public speaking one-on-one, act like you're excited to be there. Don't get up there and let your body language or let your words say things like, well, I would rather be at the larger church down the street, but I'll settle for being here tonight. You know, what a horrible way to communicate your true excitement about being there. And you don't have to speak a word. Your body language will give you away every time. So, So the first point in connecting with an audience, share with them. Be excited to be with them. Tell them how excited you are to be with them in that venue, in that moment. Secondly, let them know that you want to add value to them. Not that you haven't come here to tell them what to do. You haven't come here to be the expert in the room and tell them how to run their lives. You've come to serve. You've come to speak in a way that will serve them and that can add value to them. That should be our mindset. That should be the way that we enter into a large speaking engagement, is that we've come to serve. We've come to add value to this group that is gathered. Another connecting point, let them know how they or their organization or their church adds value to you. How have they as a group, how have they added value to you individually? Those are powerful connecting points. Speak to them, address those areas where this church or where this group has added value to your life. You're building bridges so that you can travel into their lives and that they can travel and have access into your life. So build those bridges or those connecting points. Then here's the question. Got to have a question for this section as well. What are you going to do to increase your ability to connect with an audience? So you can think through some of these things we've shared. But again, it's our desire here at the Five Gifts Podcast. We want you to excel at being a connector, because when you do, your leadership, your influence is going to multiply. And it's just amazing that through the act of communication and through the skill of making connections, it can have as deep an impact on our leadership as it does. So connect with one-on-one, connect in a small group, and connecting with a larger group.
Charles, these are all excellent points, and I think they recognize that, you know, connection is going to happen on multiple levels, just like communication happens on multiple levels. Mm-hmm. And that you're going to be in front of crowds, you're going to be speaking with focused groups, but you're always have the responsibility of making those meaningful connections one-to-one that they build cohesion and they enhance, I think people's sense of not only your message, but the direction in which you're taking them as a leader. And what I was interested to see throughout all of our notes is there was no Festivus moments. There was no airing of grievances. There was no feats of strength. these were all, you know, positive and uplifting and looking for ways to add value to people rather than tear them down.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's always a good approach. Build people up. Don't tear them down.
Fantastic discussion today. And we're going to continue this theme next week, I believe, as we talk about some other factors of good communication as a leader. And we look forward to seeing you on the Five Gifts Podcast next week. Please make sure you check some of our show notes below. We have opportunities for enhancing your leadership. We have, Charles and I both have websites that are geared toward investing in leaders. And you're going to hear some exciting announcements in the next few weeks, I believe, about some stuff that we're adding to be of service to our listeners. Make sure you like or subscribe, hit like buttons where you see them. Leave comments in comment sections below, whether it's YouTube or Facebook. We want to know how you're responding to the material. You can also contact us personally through email, and we'll be happy to respond to you. Charles, any thoughts before we say goodbye for today?
Yeah, just praying that you make great connections this week. Praying that your leadership multiplies. And we're looking forward to seeing you next week right here on the Five Gifts Podcast.